Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror. You are incorrect in this matter. The hunter who was interviewed for that newspaper article you discovered was found in Lieberman's Woods, not the Pincherpack State Park.
Projectionist, I didn't write the article. I'm just telling you what it says. This was published in 1969, so maybe the reporter just typed up the wrong forest.
Perhaps, but Lieberman's Woods has allowed hunting for over 100 years. Pincherpack allowed hunting until 1895, not permitting it after the virtual incident. Look here, Ross. The fire is dying. I'll take care of it. Like I have to take care of everything.
Yet again, I get what you're saying. I was just bringing up the fact that I didn't write it. Oh, hey, the recording light's on.
Once more, our private conversations are being eavesdropped on by the retroists. I tell you, Ross, he is compiling what we say. I just haven't figured out yet which organization he was reporting to.
I've told you, the system is automated and begins recording at the time we scheduled to record the new podcast.
Perhaps the Secret Philosophy Society? I'm not sure that is in the retroist's purview, however. As an intern, perhaps you might be able to get close to him and uncover his secrets, yes?
The retroist hired me to be your assistant. If you would just listen to what I'm saying, though, when we are going to record and schedule a time, it automatically starts recording. Same time, every week. We're recording right now, as in, we are live right now. The listeners can hear everything you're saying.
Right now. Hello there, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us once again for the Projectionist's Sinister Tales of Terror. I was just having a discussion with Ross Shirey here on his foolish novel idea of the location of today's story.
Listeners, have you ever heard of the case of Arthur Fisher? In a 1969 Haddonfield Tribune story by Martin Arnold, it ran under the headline of The Portraits.
A curious headline, eh?
Well, it's a more curious story. The subject of the article was about a hunter who had ventured into Pincherpack State Park.
Lieberman's Woods.
A dense forest. The hunter's name was Arthur Fisher, and by all accounts, a level-headed and credible man. His friends have gone on record stating that he was never known to spin a yarn. His wife even said, and I am quoting her from the newspaper article, "Arthur never had time for such foolishness." The point I'm making, listeners, is Fisher wasn't the type to make up stories. He claims he was having no success in his hunt and, out of a sense of pure stubbornness, refused to call it a day, until he realized the day was all but spent. That is when it dawned on him, even though he had spent most of his early life and days after World War II and the Korean War in that forest, he wasn't quite sure where he was.
Pardon me a moment, dear listeners. Arthur Fisher was well known to be an expert outdoorsman. However, to his dying day, which occurred on September 1st, 1981, he was something of a loner. He found far more enjoyment walking through the forests of Haddonfield, lost in his own thoughts and moods, than taking others with him for company, their endless prattle defiling his peace and tranquility. Very much like when I have visitors during my radio broadcasts. Isn't that right, Ross? Come now, Ross. Don't scowl at me like that. Please continue with your research.
The hunter decided to forge on ahead, and in the interview with Martin Arnold, he said it must have been a couple of hours before he came upon an unexpected but welcome sight. A cabin. Furthermore, the porch lights were on, although Arthur admitted that in retrospect, he couldn't say if the porch light was electric or lantern. Upon reaching the porch, Fisher found the screen door was unlocked and that the door was slightly open. Calling out to whomever may have been within, he received no answer. Although in the small cabin there was a worn table with a lit lantern, its wick almost spent. Picking up the lantern, he entered one of the two rooms of the cabin, which turned out to be a bedroom. With a single mattress on the wooden floor, Arthur says it was then he guessed this was someone's hunting cabin. With the day's burden weighing heavily on him, he laid down upon the mattress, figuring whomever owned the cabin would be back shortly and he could explain the situation. As he laid on the mattress looking up at the portraits, of which there were four, he claims he felt a chill run down his spine. The four portraits all featured finely dressed individuals. The hunter said he was pretty sure one of them was a woman, as if they had come from a ball or social event of old. Each was wearing a porcelain mask that captured a look of anger and disgust, as well as the fact that their gaze seemed to be pointed at him. Upon each of the portraits, the subjects' mouths were frozen in a snarl. Fisher said the lantern gave out shortly after. The last thing he recalls hearing was the cabin creaking as the wind picked up before he fell into a slumber. He admitted in the interview that before falling asleep, he felt himself unnerved by the portraits still, even though he couldn't see them in the darkness. Listeners, in the interview, Arthur said upon waking, he felt like he hadn't slept a wink. Upon rising up from the mattress, he was shocked by the revelation that daylight brought. There were no portraits. Only four windows.
Oh, even I am getting goosebumps thinking about what that must have been like. The discovery that as he went to sleep, Arthur Fisher was still assuredly being watched. While I'm not positive I would want to stay in that cabin a moment longer, upon realizing that fact.
The hunter admitted he fled from the cabin, and it was an hour or two before he stumbled upon the path of two fellow hunters. They guided the man back to civilization, Fisher telling them what he had encountered the previous night. It was those two hunters that repeated the story at a local diner. At that establishment, Martin Arnold was having lunch and contacted Fisher for permission to report the story. The story of the portraits.
Ross, the mention of the porcelain masks stuck with me, as well as Arthur Fisher's visitors being dressed to the nines. That sounds very much like members of Haddonfield's heavily rumored secret society, the Consecrated Praetors of the Horned Rod.
I was about to mention that, projectionist. First reports of the supposed society were first recorded in Haddonfield in 1875.
I have heard that frequently a willing participant is sacrificed by a chosen collection of the supposed society. I do believe that Arthur Fisher stumbled into a cabin picked to be the site of such a ritual. The question remains, who were they waiting for?
Agreed. Although in my research I've yet to determine what the purpose of that ritual or any such ritual would be.
Perhaps you will one day, Ross. Furthermore, while it may be missing from the newspaper article by Martin Arnold that you have been researching, Arthur Fisher's story most certainly spread to those curious to see the cabin for themselves. To get to the bottom of the tale of the portraits. What Ross's research has failed to reveal is that you two listeners can seek out this cabin. Although, if you do, as others have learned, the cabin was burned to the ground. Nothing but the stone foundation remained amongst burnt timbers and ash. It would appear there are those in Haddonfield who want its secrets to remain hidden to all but a chosen few.
Do you want to tell me something, Projectionist?
Only that I look forward to more of your research and sharing it with our dear listeners here on the Projectionist's Sinister Tales of Terror. I do hope you have been enjoying Season 2 of the Projectionist's Sinister Tales of Terror. If you would like to reach me on the internets, you may do so by contacting me on the Facebooks. Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. Once again, I must give a reluctant thank you to my new assistant, Ross Shirey. I also will give a thank you to the Retroist for carrying my broadcast on his station. Victor Sage says I must remind you that when you wish to learn of the joy and history of pop culture, you should visit the Retroist. Will I be getting paid for that advertisement? What? We're still recording? This has been a Retroist production. Sleep well, and goodbye.